I roll over for the eighth time in the last 15 minutes. I'm so tired that my body feels weighted, but every time I'm about to drift off, Grayer's hacking cough echoes through the apartment. I reach over to pull the clock back towards me. 2:36 a.m. Jesus. I hit the mattress with my hand and roll onto my back, staring up at the ex's guest room ceiling. I try to add up the few hours of sleep I've managed to get in the past 3 nights, and the total makes me even heavier. I'm bone-tired from spending 24/7 keeping Grayer entertained as his mood has blackened and fever risen. When I arrived, she greeted me at the elevator with a list in hand, her bags already waiting in the limo downstairs. She just wanted to mention that Grayer had a tiny bit of an earache and that his medicine was by the sink, along with his pediatrician's number, just in case. And the kicker? We'd really prefer that Grayer not sit in front of the television. You two have fun. I knew fun was hardly going to be the word for it as soon as I found him lying on the floor next to his train set, listlessly rolling a caboose on his arm. Any idea when Mr. X will be home tonight? I had asked Connie, dusting nearby. Hope you brought your pajamas, she replied, wagging her head in disgust. I come to look forward to Connie's arrival over the past few days. It's a relief to have another person in the apartment, even if she is only a whir of dusting and vacuuming. As the temperature has held steady at 7 degrees Fahrenheit, we've been under house arrest since my arrival. Grayer's tiny earache may have improved, but his cough has only worsened. And, needless to say, his father has been completely MIA. He simply failed to return home my first night. Numerous phone calls to Justine have unearthed only the voicemail of a suite at the Four Seasons in Chicago. Meanwhile, the reception desk at the spa is screening Mrs. X's calls as if she were Sharon Stone. I took Grayer back to the doctor this afternoon, but his only advice was for Grayer to finish the pink amoxicillin and wait it out. Another round of raspy coughs. He's even more congested now than he sounded at dinner time. It's so dark and so late, and this place is just so big that I'm starting to feel as if no one will ever come back to get us. Nanny, Grayer's small, scratchy voice calls out. Yes, Grover, I'm coming. My voice echoes in the big room. The warm glow of his Grover nightlight greets me along with the whir of his supersonic 2000 air filter. The minute I step through his doorway, my stomach drops. He is not okay. His breathing is labored and his eyes are watering. I sit on the corner of the bed. Hey, sweetheart, I'm here. I put my hand on his forehead. It's boiling. The moment my fingers touch him, he starts to whimper. It's okay, Grover. You're just real sick, and I know it's yucky, but I don't know any more. His wheezing alarms me. I'm going to pick you up now, Grover. I reach my arms under him. He starts to cry fully, the movement agitating him as I pull him up to me. I go into automatic pilot, running through options, the pediatrician, the emergency room, Mom. I carry him to the hall extension, lean against the wall for support as I dial. My mother answers on the second ring. Where are you? What's wrong? Mom, I'm with Grayer, and he's been sick with an ear infection and this cough, and they've had him on antibiotics, but the cough keeps getting worse, and I can't get a message through to Mrs. X because the receptionist says she's been in some sort of sensory deprivation tank all day, and he can't seem to breathe, and I don't know if I should take him to the hospital because his fever won't go down, and I haven't slept in 2 nights, and... Put the phone to his mouth so he can cough. Her voice is calm and steady. I hold the phone near Grayer's mouth, and within a second he has erupted into a deep cough. I feel the vibrations of this effort where his chest is pressed to mine. Nanny, that's the croup. He has the croup. And you need to take a deep breath. You may not fall apart right now. Breathe with me. In. I focus on her voice, taking a deep breath in for Grayer and myself. And out. Listen, he's okay. You are okay. He just has a lot of fluid in his chest. Where are you right now? In the hall? Is this a cordless phone? No. She doesn't like the way they look. I can feel the panic start to well up again as he whimpers. Okay. I want you to go into his bathroom, turn on the shower so it's comfortably warm, not too hot, just warm. Then sit on the side of the bathtub with him in your lap. Keep the door closed so it gets nice and steamy. Stay in there until he stops wheezing. You'll see the steam will help. His fever is trying to break, and it will be down by morning. Everything is going to be just fine. Call back in an hour, okay? I'll be waiting. I feel somewhat soothed, knowing that there is something I can do for him. Okay, Mom, I love you. I hang up and carry him back through the darkness to his bathroom. I'm going to flick the light on, Grayer. Close your eyes. He turns his sweaty face into my neck. The light is blinding after being up for so long in the dark, and I have to blink a few times before I can focus on the gleaming silver of the faucet. I grip his body as I lean over to turn the shower on, then sit down. balancing on the edge of the tub with him on my lap. When the water hits our legs, he really begins to cry. I know, sweetie, I know. We are going to sit here until this wonderful steam makes your chest feel good. Do you want me to sing? He just leans against me and cries and coughs as the steam fills the bright tile around us. I want my mom. He shudders with the effort, seemingly unaware that I am here. My pajama pants soak in the warm water. I drop my head against his, rocking slowly. Tears of exhaustion and worry drip down my face and into his hair. Oh, Grove, I know. I want my mom, too.